Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I had to take the long way up because I like that song. Some of you don't know I'm a rapper. You can take your seat. Most of you already have. Punch your neighbor on the way down, though, real quick. It's good to be in church today. Thank God it's Sunday. Last month was Thank God It's Sunday series, but my wife's been out of town for a week, and I have three kids, and she comes back tomorrow, so thank God it's Sunday, because tomorrow things are going to get better, and my life's going to go back to a little bit of normalcy, but it's been fun. It's been good. It's great to have you here today. It's Vision Builders Month. One person went, whoop. Man, those are some good videos we just saw. Always something happening at C3. And Vision Builders Month is one of my favorite months. And I can never help to just remember and reflect during Vision Builders Month. And, you know, Vision Builders is where we come together as a church, three campuses, and we actually purchase the future. We invest into the future growth of C3 San Diego. Kind of the tithes take care of the weekly expenses, but Vision Builders is actually what allows us to take ground in our city and to partner with different missions and outreaches all over the world. Last year, we gave over $600,000 to missions alone through Vision Builders. Which is powerful to think about. But I remember back in Carmel Valley when we started the church, and you know, there was maybe I got there a year into this church. We're 11 and a half years old, I think, right now. And so 10 and a half years ago, I came into this church, and we were at Carmel Valley Middle School in the gym, and it was awesome. You know, a few hundred people there, and it was great, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, we were setting up and tearing down for 8 years. And we made that gym look sweet, man. It was killer, and it looked like a church, and it was great. And then we bought our North Campus, and I remember when we got our North Campus in Carlsbad, and there wasn't any stage, there wasn't any seats in yet, and the team would go up there, volunteers would go up there, and we would pray, and we would believe God that the altars were going to be filled and that the seats were going to be packed. And now there's, you know, over 1,000 people attending our North Campus every single week. So it's awesome to see what God is doing. And then we came here and, you know, got this facility, and we would come in here and we would pray and we would believe God. I remember having prayer meetings right here and talking to a bunch of volunteers and people that were here and, you know, eating pizza. And we would all write scriptures on the ground that you're sitting on the walls before they were painted. And so right now you're surrounded with scriptures of people that wrote before we moved in here that were praying for you to be here. It's a powerful thing. And I remember September 8th was when we opened 2013. And if you were to come here on September 6th, you would have been like, no way are they having church in 2 days. It was a disaster, a freaking mess. And but we had hundreds of volunteers here coming, including our, you know, all of our pastors and our team, Pastor Jurgen and Leanne, mopping the floor, sweeping, putting together, you know, furniture, painting, putting, you know, play stuff together for the kids. And we opened on September 8th, despite the fact that there was no roof and no AC. We opened, and this place was jam-packed, and I can't help to remember that. It's so such a good thing. And then, you know, just a few weeks ago, I was down at South Campus when they were filming that awesome video that you just saw, and just to see that facility coming together and the kids church and the jungle gym and the area that it's in a prime area in Eastlake, you know, it's going to influence all of South Bay, and to see that coming together and about to open in the next probably 6 weeks or less, probably 4 weeks. And so seeing that happen down there, and that's what Vision Builders is all about. We need to continue to grow and take ground into the future of C3 to house the growth of our My City youth. to house the growth of our college ministry, to house the growth of our prime generation. Come on, 50 plus, prime generation. Has there ever been a more important time for you? We need to grow in that area. We need to be able to house our media and our productions. Twisted and Hero, we saw 8,000 people come, man. We should see 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people come to those shows. They're that significant and they're that influential of productions. And, you know, we're filming a live album here this week, and we need a facility to be able to house stuff like that. So that night, those nights, you are going to find that the spirit of C3 San Diego is going to be cultivated and sent all across the globe. We're going to touch the nations with that album. That is what is on this church. We aren't the best kept secret anymore in San Diego or in the world. You are part of a global ministry that is touching the earth. All of you. People are looking to you to see, how do we do church? How do we get what's on C3 San Diego on our church? We have guest ministries all over the world that come in here and they say, there's nothing like what you guys have in San Diego. I'm talking about from some of the biggest ministries all over the world. And it's because of you. It's because of what we're doing here at C3. I got to tell you, you know, 1,500 salvations, 800 baptisms. You know, we did 40 assemblies in secular high schools last year. All that stuff is good. We're in 12 colleges. All that's great. But God's not done. God's not dead. He's still alive. And he still wants to reach people. It is his will that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. You heard Pastor Jurgen last week talk about 16 buildings all across San Diego County to reach this city. There are 3.5 million people that we need to touch in this city. And we're not going to stop until we do. That's what you're a part of. That's what's happening at C3 San Diego. And we only have one opportunity. We only have one life. YOLO. To impact. To impact San Diego and to make a difference in our life. And this is when we come together in unity. The Bible says God commands a blessing. Where there's unity, there is power. We can affect all of San Diego County just through one church, and God is moving. Vision Builders is not about tithing. Tithing is 10%. Giving starts at 11%. So you can't give unless you tithe. It's just starting to get awkward already. But tithing is when you give 10% of your income. Offerings, or Vision Builders, is about your offering. You know, the tithing can pay for the expense, but the Vision Builders is what takes ground in our city. And so if you're not tithing, start tithing. Yes, do that. The Bible says it opens heaven over your life. And then you can begin to give and really see God. The Bible says when you give, it is given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And it'll literally open heaven over your life. And then once you start tithing, you can begin to give. It would be amazing if this was the first month, if you've never stepped out in giving before, if you would do that this month. Not only tithing, but hey, what can you contribute towards Vision Builders? You're going to have an opportunity to make a commitment in the next couple of weeks. That you'll fulfill over the next 12 months to help us take ground in our city and help us, you know, more than 1,500 salvations. Let's go for 5,000, you know, more than 3 buildings. We're going east this year. Come on, we're already looking east. And so here's what the Bible says in Matthew 16:18. It says, I will build my church, Jesus speaking, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I love that verse. Because it doesn't say, I will build my church if so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so gives. It says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So God's going to build his church whether we are a part of it or not. So we have an opportunity today, this week, this month, to say, hey, I'm not just going to be a cheerleader and cheer on the people that are building the church. I'm going to be a player. I'm going to get on the field, and I'm going to play. And I'm going to be involved in what's happening at C3 San Diego and in our city and around the world. Now, I've been a part of churches in the past that they would have like the money month. And they would advertise it. And no one would go. No one would go to church that month, including myself. I can remember it vividly. Like, why would I go? The church is just... And here's the reason why. It's because I believe back then it was like... It was like the church was trying to get something from the people instead of the church explaining that God wants to get something to the people. That's the difference. That's why this is one of my favorite months, because I need to be encouraged in my giving. I need to be encouraged in my financial. What I need to know that there is an anointing from heaven. There's a power of God that can come on your finances just like it can come on you to heal the sick. It's the same anointing. It's the same power. It's the same Holy Ghost that can come on your finances. so I need this month. And I don't think those churches had bad intentions. I just think they had bad theology. Because they've been so intimidated by the prosperity gospel that people might think they're a prosperity gospel church because that word has been so vilified. So they don't want to lose people. They're fearing losing people because they might think we're a prosperity church and all that kind of stuff. But there's other pastors and leaders that I know of that won't teach their people the full truth of the Bible about finances because then their people will outgrow them and they'll lose control. That is not C3 San Diego. We want you to flourish. We want you to go further than you've already gone. We want the anointing of God to come on you for you to flourish and prosper in all areas of your life, not just financially, in every single area of your life. That's how we do it here. That's how we do here. That's why this is, can be an exciting month, not a, oh, shoot, the church just wants one. No, God wants to get something to you. God wants to get something to you, and that is really what Vision Builders is all about. It's about the blessing of God coming on your life, and it's about the transformation of people. That's what it's about. Like Joel Piper, oh my goodness, what a testimony. He told me that he was on the brink of suicide before he got here. He thought he told me he would be dead today had he not come into our church. He could not have walked into North Campus had we not had Vision Builders sowing into that campus and building that building. Just telling you, building buildings is taking ground. Building buildings is a mission. It is a mission. San Diego is our mission field. You're going to land and come all the way from Australia to reach Africa. We'll help Africa. Heck yeah. We'll help everybody. We gave over $600,000 to missions and outreaches. But San Diego is our very first mission field, and there's plenty of work to do right here and right now. So let's do this. Okay, now it's gonna get awkward. People, Christians, for some reason, think that, for whatever reason, that Christians or the church should be poor or mediocre. And we read the Bible that was written by rich people. But we don't think we should be. So in other words, we shouldn't take the advice of the Bible that we're reading to apply to our lives, like, doesn't really work. Some of the richest people in the world, history of the world, wrote the Bible. King David wrote half of the Psalms. He was a king. He lived in extraordinary splendor. He was not a poor rural shepherd boy. He came from a prominent family in Bethlehem. He was the youngest son of Jesse. He gave personally over $900 million, and that's low from what I've heard, but this is all I could find, and I didn't want to, you know, just guess, this is what I could find, over $900 million to the building of the temple, the house of God. And then he asked all of his leaders and all of his people to join him in giving. Can you imagine that? But I mean, David had an idea of the house of God. I mean, what would you want your house to look like if God was going to dwell there? David said, I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. I'm willing to put $900 million towards the house of God. Why shouldn't our church be the landmark property in San Diego County? All of our campuses. That's why we're in prominent areas. That's what C3 Church is. That's what it is. We're called to influence our city, influence our county. King David said this, 1 Chronicles 22:5. This was his philosophy. He said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, because Solomon was going to build the temple. He said, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all the countries. That was David's idea of the house of God. Incredible, $900 million. King Solomon, his son, was richer than David. He wrote Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes. I just learned that the word Proverbs comes from the word rule and reign. That comes from the same root words to rule and reign. The book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, is meant for us to read and apply to our lives so that we can rule and that we can reign. The wisdom of God coming from Solomon. So many people read the book of Proverbs and try to apply that to their lives. And if we apply that to our lives, it should make us kind of look more like Solomon, but yet the church is supposed to be poor and mediocre and struggling. All of the goblets and the household articles in Solomon's palace were pure gold. King Solomon was reportedly so rich that during the years of his reign over Jerusalem, his immense wealth caused silver to be considered of little value and as common as rocks. As such, nothing in Solomon's palace was even made of silver. The Queen of Sheba gave him billions of dollars in an offering. The Bible says, because of what she saw. She saw the wisdom and the excellence. So because of what she saw, she gave an offering to Solomon. He is said to be, depending on, you know, what articles I read a whole bunch of them, at least top five of the richest historical figures in the world, history. Net worth of $2.2 trillion. And just to give you perspective, John D. Rockefeller, and this is in today's currency, obviously, was at a net worth of about $400 billion in today's currency. Bill Gates is the richest man alive today. He's worth about $75 billion. He's been up as high as 140, but he's down to about 75, according to what I could see and find. And so just to give you perspective, Bill Gates, the richest man alive today, $75 billion. King Solomon, $2.2 trillion. He wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. It said that he was receiving about $6 million per month. He was a great leader and, of course, the mighty deliverer. Paul was a tent maker in the New Testament. In Acts, it says that. And some scholars say he supported about 20 people himself in this ministry by his work that he did. None of the disciples were broke. None of them, all of them had jobs. The Bible wasn't written by homeless people in a cave. It was written by people who had jobs. People who were prospering, people who were getting after it. And when I ultimately the Bible was written by God, the creator of the universe. Haggai 2:8 says, silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. The one who created everything from nothing. That's why God has unsearchable riches. There's no limits to what God can provide because he can create something out of nothing. And he wants to put that on your life. God is not dead or broke. That's the title of my message. I can't remember if I said that already. But he's not broke. All the silver and gold is mine, says the Lord. Says the Lord. And he didn't just put all the silver and gold in the earth. Or it didn't go away just for the people in the Bible, or just for other people. He put it in the earth for Christians, for his sons and his daughters. And I'm going to use the word prosperity and rich today. And if that makes you uncomfortable, let me just explain what I'm talking about. Prosperity and rich means that you could have more than enough for yourself. It doesn't mean we're all going to live in Rancho Santa Fe and have Lamborghinis and mansions. Although if you do, I want to come over and drive your car. I mean, I live in Rancho Santa Fe, or at least right outside of it. I drive a Chrysler, but hey, it's pretty sweet. It's got rims. So I'm not talking about we're all supposed to be Solomon, but wherever you are, be it high school, be it college, be it prime, be it wherever you are, if you are a good steward of the money and the influence that God has given you, you will have the ability to prosper and be rich, which means have more than enough for just yourself. Amen? Because God has put us in all different kinds of areas. And not only does God have the silver and gold, he takes pleasure in your prosperity. He wants you to flourish, just like any father in here would want their kids to be successful. Psalm 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And I say this all the time, but that's Old Testament. New Testament, we've been adopted as sons and daughters. So how much more would God want his sons and daughters to prosper than his servants? So, but it says, let the Lord be magnified continually. It's okay to be excited that our God is loaded. It's okay. Shout for joy. Magnify God. You see all these like stink-faced Christians like walking around like something stinks. Like we should be smiling, shouting for joy, magnifying God. And we're not always going to be in a place of extreme prosperity financially. I mean, we go through all kinds of different valleys and whatever. But I'm telling you, there is hope in God and there is unlimited resources available to his kids. I'm going to Cancun in about a month and a half with just my wife for a week. All inclusive. God is taking pleasure in that prosperity right there. And the reason I tell you that is to brag a little bit, but also my wife's turning 40, so we're going out there, but and we're staying in a sweet place. But all inclusive, and whenever we go, we've been there a couple of times. Whenever we go there, every time, you know, they have to bring you whatever you ask because it's all inclusive. And so I'm determined that they're gonna lose money whenever I go there. So I don't go buy a station of food without asking for something. I don't see a waitress without saying, hey, if I don't eat it, who cares? You know, it's like, but you know, you're always just trying to take advantage of that situation. Ordered room service a number of times and woken up to it being outside of my front door in the morning. But who cares? And so I think God takes pleasure in that. But the reason I say that is because whenever you go there and they bring you something, like the waitresses or the waiters or whatever, and you say thank you, they say, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's so cute, like the way they say it. And you just want to order more just to hear, it's a pleasure. And so they think it's a pleasure to serve you. They think it's a pleasure to give you things. Did you know that God said this in Luke 12:32? Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure. It's a pleasure. That's what he's saying in heaven. He wants to give you the kingdom. He doesn't want to hoard it. He wants to release it. He wants to. He wants to. When we tithe, it opens heaven. It allows the blessing of God to come into your life. And then we start to give. We start to receive the abundance that God has for us. Just in about the last 2 months, maybe 3 months, I've had the opportunity to sit with my two boys' teachers in school. And I'm not a crier. Like, I don't hardly ever cry. But my sitting down with my teachers, or my kids' teachers, and hearing them tell me how great my kids are doing. Like, you sit down on this table, and my kids are presenting to me and the teacher what they've been working on, what they've been doing, and I'm just, like, pretty impacted the fact that they're, like, able to even do that, like, present that to me. And then their teacher at the end will start to tell me how great that they've been doing in class, how they're reading over their grade level, and they're doing math at extraordinary levels, and how they're helpful, and how they're obedient, and how they're leaders in their class. And I got to tell you, like, it chokes me up hearing how well my kids are doing. I'm so pleased with them, and I'm trying to fight back tears just talking to their teachers. And then I hear, we're trying to figure out, is my daughter, who's 4, ready for kindergarten? Because she'd be probably one of the youngest people in her class. And then we get a letter from her teacher saying, you know, Henley is so ready for kindergarten. She's so smart. She's so social. She's so helpful. She's so obedient. And I got to tell you, just reading that on a piece of paper, I get choked up. And it's like, God, what is going on? And it was like God was showing me, that's how I feel about you when you do well, when you succeed. I'm not a mad God. I take pleasure in the prosperity of my kids. And that's what I want to communicate to you today. He takes pleasure in it. He's happy about it. He wants you to get it. And not only does he take pleasure in it, but he's giving you the power to do it. Deuteronomy 8:18, Colin said it on the video. Remember, the Lord your God who has given you the power to get wealth so that he can establish his kingdom in the earth. Getting wealth and getting riches and getting things is not about just us at all. In fact, it's about them, the people that aren't in here. It's about the world. That's why God said, I will give you the power to get wealth to establish the kingdom. If you give your money purpose to establish the kingdom, God will continue to give you the power to get it. He will. He's going to give you the power to get it as long as you give it purpose. That's it. He has given you the power. There is an anointing from God for your financial well-being. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. I looked up that word rich in the Hebrew, and it means rich. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. That's why you want to give, because giving invites God into your life, invites God into our finances so that he can bless you and make you rich, because the blessing of the Lord makes you rich but adds no sorrow with it. You saw Joel Piper's testimony. He was being blessed by the world, and he wanted to kill himself. Just look at Hollywood. If you want the blessing from the world, your life will end up being a mess. That's why you want to get under the blessing of God, because he will add no sorrow with it. That's the real thing. God, Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. And now it's not just about finances. It's about a prosperous life, but finances is a part of it. The church kind of doesn't talk about that. It is a big part of it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. Okay, this could get a little awkward for some people. Proverbs 8, 3 to 6 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule," everyone say rule, "over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." So God has made everything, and he's put you and I over to rule everything that he's made to have and take dominion. Romans 5:17, New Testament says, "For if one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness from God, Jesus Christ, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." So we are meant to rule and to reign in this life. Not rule and reign over people, just rule and reign in our life. Proverbs 22, 6 to 7. Okay, stick with me. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." That word rules means rule, have dominion, reign. The exact same word that is used in Psalm 8, the exact same Hebrew word. God is calling you and I to rule and to reign. So the rich rules over the poor. Which one do you think God wants us to be? He wants us to be the rulers. We're meant to rule and to reign. So he wants us to be the rich ones, not to rule and lord over the poor and condemn the poor, to help the poor. To help the poor. We are to rule over the rich rule over them so that we can help them. That is the mindset that we have. The borrower is servant to the lender. Never has a borrower went into a bank and said, "Mr. Lender, here are my terms that you're going to give me money on." The lender dictates the terms. So the borrower is subject to the lender, just like the poor is subject to the rich. God wants you and I to be rich, to have more than enough for ourselves so that we can impact the world, so that we can reach a generation. Now, the reason I left in there, "train up a child in the way he should go," is because I looked up the word child, and it said, you guys are thinking I'm like deep theology guy right now, but I wanted to prove a point today that word child is not just translated young kid, it's translated young men and women, young people. And here's the deal. We are training up a young generation in this church who will have no inhibitions about prosperity. They will have no hang-ups about making money and building the kingdom of God. The prosperity gospel will disappear in this church because we are training up people who are going to know how to take ground in the marketplace and bring that harvest back to the church so that we can reach people. That's why we're training up child in the way that they should go. So reading the Bible, just as I have today, because I think that sometimes I'm just called to read the Bible to people, because when you read the Bible and you believe what it says, it's mind-blowing. So reading the Bible today and thinking that Christians should be poor or mediocre or that God does not want you to be blessed would be like reading The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, which is one of the most successful books, self-help books in the history of the world. It'd be like reading that book and coming to the conclusion that there's no way to be a highly effective person. You're like, wait a second. You just gave me 7 habits of highly effective, and there's no way to be. That's what it's like to read the Bible and be like, no, God doesn't want you blessed. God's broke or whatever people say. That's the same thing. It's ridiculous when you actually kind of look at it for what it is. In Pathfinders, which is our marketplace ministry, we talk about prosperity, but we've kind of redefined prosperity, and prosperity is not about what you make, but it's actually about what you give. That's what true prosperity is, because we want to go out there and we want to advance our careers and make money so that we can bring people with us. So that we can help other people prosper, so that we can help other people meet Jesus, the true God that we, I believe, introduced to people here very well. And at our last event, we had a guy who brought 80 people to our Pathfinders LeaderCast event. He brought 80 people himself, his whole company. He couldn't do that unless he was prospering. But he gets the idea that prospering is not just about him. It's not just about having minions. It's about lifting other people up. It's about bringing other people with you. And that is the true definition of prosperity. But he couldn't do it unless he was able to, you know, have more than enough for himself. Now, if King David was alive today, and we had vision builders, and he gave $900 million to build the house of God, and the media found out, they would vilify him, saying, what a waste of money. Why would you build the church? Why would you give $900 million to build the church when you could send it to the poor, or when you could do this or do that? He would be vilified. He would be vilified in today's media, in today's structure, in a lot of Christians today. But you know what God said about David? In Acts 13, 22, he said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will. That's what God said about him. How different is that than what the world and what the media would probably say about him today? Man, the church really duped David, got 900 million out of him. But God said, he's after my own heart. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Bible says God looks to and fro across the whole earth, searching for somebody whose heart is loyal to him, that he may show himself strong on their behalf. I got to tell you, when David gave 900 million, he didn't lack after that. He continued to live in extraordinary splendor because God found somebody whose heart was loyal to him. And he said, he will do all of my will. It's incredible. It's incredible to think. And you know, as a church, I don't think we've done a great job in elevating this, in elevating people who are willing to go compete in the marketplace and pour into the house of God so that we can advance the kingdom. You know, we're happy to call somebody up on stage that's been, you know, killing it on the parking team, which I love the parking team. That's where I started. Or on the ushering team or in kids church or even on the worship team, on the media. And all of those people deserve great celebration. But we've had a very hard time celebrating the people that give. I've had a conversation with friends recently talking about this very thing and saying, why is it so hard? And some of you that give a lot are like, don't point me out, don't point me out. Why is it so hard to celebrate people that are big givers into the house of God? It's because the devil has made it shameful or embarrassing. And I realize that, you know, humility is a part of it, and I respect that for sure. But I'm just saying, like we don't do a good job of celebrating those people. And that is an anointing by God for people to bring in a harvest into the church. It's found in Romans 12. It's one of the motivational gifts that God gives you. It's a spiritual gift of giving and generosity. Let me just read it, what it says. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. It is a gift of God that needs to be cultivated and celebrated. But the devil's done a great job in not allowing that to happen, because he knows whatever you put in front of people, you'll reproduce. Whatever you celebrate, you'll get more of. Whatever you focus on will expand. And the devil does not want a church that is resourced, that is awakened to the fact that all the silver and gold is mine, says the Lord, and that he has given us the power to get wealth. The devil does not want us to be awakened to that, because a resourced church is devastating to the kingdom of darkness. It's devastating. So he's done a good job in kind of shutting that thing down. So what I would say to you today is be a part of what we're doing at C3. Join us in this quest to reach our county and beyond. Pray about what God would have you commit over the next 12 months. You're going to have an opportunity to do that in, you know, the next couple of weeks. And I got to tell you, I haven't even gotten to what I really want to tell you about this Vision Builder season. God has been speaking to me about something, how to position yourself to prosper in the kingdom. And so I'm going to share that in a couple of weeks. But I couldn't get there. I tried really hard this week. But God wanted me to speak on this. But here's the thing. Henry Blackaby, he's a guy who wrote he has a ministry, and he wrote a Bible study called Experiencing God. And about 20 years ago, I went through this Bible study, and it so impacted me. I still remember the thing that impacted me most was what he said was, look and see what God is doing and join him. Don't do what you're doing and try to slam God into what you're doing or shove God into your thing. Actually, see what is God doing and join him in it. Join him. God is doing something here. He's doing something. Like, people are truly getting saved. People truly are getting transformed. The missions organizations that we partner with are seeing changes and are making a difference. Like, God is moving. Join us. Join us. The Bible says that God commands a blessing where there's unity. And if we can all do something, all three campuses come together. If we can all do something, God can do anything. He can do anything. Some of you will give a million. Some of you will give a thousand. But you know what? If we're all in it together, we don't have to be cheerleaders. We can be a part of the game. We can be a major player in this thing. We're all in this thing together. Let's all make a decision. Central Campus, come on. Central Campus, let's make a decision to do something and see C3 be able to expand. The last thing I want to share with you, the last story, is sometimes it's hard to take all of these scriptures and all of the truths in the Bible and apply it to yourself. I talked about this briefly last Sunday night, but sometimes it's easier to just think it's a global word for the church, right? It's kind of outside you. It's just kind of a global word, which it probably and many times is, but it's also a personal word to you. And so it's hard to personalize the word of God to ourselves sometimes and think, man, I can prosper too. Man, I can have more than enough. Some of us have never, you know, we've lived paycheck to paycheck our whole life. We've never had barely enough to get ends meet. You know, maybe we're couch crashing or whatever. We don't have experience. We don't have a degree. How can I prosper? And so it's hard to kind of relate these scriptures to yourself personally. But I believe that that is essential in you stepping into the true assignment that God has for you. And I believe it was the key factor that allowed Mary, the mother of Jesus, to give birth to the Messiah. God came to Mary. She was a teenager. She was not experienced in childbirth. She had never given birth. She had never been with a man. She was a teenager. But God came to her and said, you're going to be the deliverer of the Messiah, the one who will change history, the one that will split time in half. And I love Mary because she's acknowledging the fact that she's not qualified, that she doesn't have the experience to bring forth the Messiah. She hadn't even been with a man. How can she do that? And the angel of the Lord says, Mary, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And she said, this was her response to that in Luke 1:38. And this is what I believe allowed her to give birth to the Savior of the world. It said, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. And then she said this, let it be to me personally, according to your word. Let it be to me personally, according to your word. And then she was able to actually give birth to the Messiah. Some of us haven't actually let the word of God sink into us personally. But I'm believing that this month in Vision Builders, all of you who are struggling with that thing will be able to say, Lord, let it be to me, just as your word says, in my life personally. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's have a great Vision Builders month, a great year. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk to you about how to position yourself to prosper, so watch out. But why don't we all just close our eyes and bow our heads? We're just about to end the service. There may be some people here who have never actually invited Jesus into their life or asked God to be their Lord and their Savior. And today I want to give you an opportunity to do that. There is a power of God that can come on your life to help you be prosperous in every part of your life. But the first step is actually to invite Jesus into your life. Once we give Jesus access to our life, he can do what he's originally planned for you. So if that's you, if you've never invited Christ into your life, or maybe one time you did a while back, and today you're saying, you know what, I want to rededicate my life and get back into the purpose that God has for me. With every eye closed and head bowed, if that's you, would you just raise your hand right where you are so I can see it, and I want to pray with you. Is there anybody like that? God bless you, ma'am. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you back there on my right. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Oh, God bless you here to my left in the front. I see that hand. Thank you. God bless you in the middle. Thank you. Is there anybody else? If Is there one more person having a battle with your head and your heart? That's God knocking on your door. I got to end this service, but I don't want you to leave the same way you came in. Is there one more person? Oh, I see that hand down here in the front. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you can look up here. There was probably 10 people or so, maybe 12, that raised their hand. And I'd like to do something. I want to pray with you, but I want to pray with you personally and kind of getting out to the stands and whatever, trying to pray with you would be awkward. So I'd love it if we would all stand to our feet. And if you raised your hand, would you bring a friend or a neighbor or whatever and come down to the front so that I can pray with you personally? If you're sitting in the middle, it's okay. People will move out of the way. Come on, let's give those people a hand as the band sings this song. Let's give all these people a hand for walking down. I know sometimes it's a hard walk. But what we call this is the altar. And I truly believe that God alters lives right here. And he can touch you in your seat, but he can alter you right here. So I'm believing that we're going to pray a quick prayer, just a quick prayer. You guys can just repeat after me. The whole congregation is going to repeat. And I'm believing that the God of the universe, the creator of everything, is going to come into your life. And that there's going to be a new anointing on you in the area of finances. Because the Bible says this, it says that God always confirms his word with signs and wonders. Today we've preached about financial blessing, about financial things, and I'm believing he's going to confirm his word in your lives. And not only that, but give you a first class ticket to heaven. So why don't you repeat after me, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, today I invite you into my life and I ask that you would help me live a life that glorifies you. I pray that the power to get wealth would fall on my life in Jesus' name, and that prosperity in every area would be my portion. I declare right now that heaven is my home, that God is my Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, one more time. God bless you guys. Would you guys do this? Would you just go to your right and my left and just follow her real quick? We just have a book for you. It's a tiny book, says Following Jesus, that will just give you the next steps in your walk. We want to make sure that we take care of you in this decision we believe is the most important decision that you can make. So could you just follow her real quick, just for 2 minutes? Thank you. So proud of you guys. Come on, let's keep cheering. I love that. Thanks for sticking around during the altar call, everybody. It is the most important thing that we do in service. And so, and right now, I want to pray for you out there, because as I was just telling them, God confirms his word with signs and wonders. That's why I know tonight, Pastor Tim Hall is coming here. And if you don't know who he is a healing power of God evangelist like you haven't seen before. He called me yesterday and he said that in the last couple of nights, he's been at different places in San Diego and LA. And he said, people are coming forward in wheelchairs and with crutches, and they're leaving without them. and they're walking out. And so he said, God's doing amazing things right now, and it's going to happen tonight here. So if you know somebody sick, if you know somebody diseased, injured, bring them tonight. And let's all believe God for the miraculous to happen. He's going to preach on it, and then we're going to see it. Just like I preached this morning on financial breakthrough and the power to get wealth, it's going to come upon you guys right here and right now. So why don't we just lift our hands. Father, I thank you for the power of God. Lord, you said that you have given us the power to get wealth, to establish your kingdom. Father, we commit to you today that we will continue to give our money a purpose, Lord, to establish the kingdom in the earth. So God, we ask that you would give us the power to go get it. Father, that when we sow the seed, that you would supply seed to us, and that you would multiply the seed that we've sown. Father, bless every person here today. Bless every giver here today. Father, do extraordinary things this year during Vision Builders and over the next 12 months, Father, as we step out in faith and we begin to give and we begin to sacrifice, Father. I'm praying for the miraculous in the area of financial success. I declare right now job promotions, career changes, new companies, new ideas, investors coming to the table. Father, in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you all. 5 p.m. is going to be powerful. Don't forget, we have a live album recording this week, and we have an Ecuador missions trip. So if you are interested, it's kind of a strange transition, but hey, it's on the whiteboard. I got to say it. We have an Ecuador missions trip happening at the end of this year. It's going to be hands-on ministry. It's an amazing deal because we don't just give to missions. We actually go and minister. And so if you want to be a part of that, go to the info booth, or you can text something, I think. Oh, Ecuador to 555-888. Take somebody out to lunch and then get back here for the 5 p.m. It will be powerful.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.